The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with John Couch, John Engineering and Producing. Here we go with a brand new week on the Buckmaster Show as we plunge into the first full week of November. It's Monday, November 4th, 2019. Hope you had a great weekend. We begin the Monday show, as we do really every year, every day, every week anyway, since we began the Buckmaster Show, and I was thinking of years. We're beginning 10 years, begin the 10th year, 9 full years in first week of January, so this would be coming up on our 10th year. The Monday Political Face-Off features today John Munger, Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, Republican candidate for Arizona governor a few years ago. Jeff Rogers, Tucson attorney, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. John, did you have a great weekend?
Great weekend. Thank you. I hope you did.
I did as well. And how about you, Jeff?
Beautiful weekend, except for the Wildcats getting thumped like they did.
Yeah, homecoming weekend, the smallest crowd since 1975 at Arizona Stadium. John, you were saying on television it sure looked... wasn't a pretty picture.
It was ugly. All those vacant seats. It was too bad. Yeah. You know, and Arizona has a great offense. They can play, they can score, but that defense, it's just not good.
Jeff, Dick Tomey was let go. It's been almost 20 years ago, and the man is now. I think we look back on Dick and what a great guy, what a great coach. Players loved him, John and Jeff. They loved to play for him. They left it all on the field for this guy. This football program has never recovered since they've hired now 4 coaches. They've never recovered since Dick Tomey.
No, they certainly haven't. And if everyone will remember, the year before he got fired, I think he went 12-1.
Yes.
And it was an awesome season. And then he had one really bad season, and bam, he was gone. And that was a guy who still had a lot of gas in the tank. He went on to coach again at Hawaii, and I forget where
San
else.
San Jose State,
too. And so he... you know, he had a lot more gas in the tank, and we probably should have kept him. And we've been kind of cursed ever since then, maybe because of what we did to Dick Tomey.
And, I mean, we look at Dick now, John. We just named our new practice field in his honor. They had a big ceremony Friday.
Right.
And he put Wildcat football with Desert Swarm on the map.
Oh, he did. Well, we are where we are. I'm encouraged, frankly, about the offense. We can score against excellent teams. We just have to turn the defense around. And my view is you've got to give the coach time to get that turned around. It takes time. And we'll see what happens. But I think we have the makings of a good team, in my opinion. Your offense is good. We've got a new quarterback, that's Gunnell, coming in. For 4 years as a freshman,
he's looked pretty good.
He looks good, yeah. And we can score.
Yeah,
we just have to stop the other team.
Yeah, I think they made a big mistake when they put Tate in a kind of drop back passer role.
Right.
I don't know if he was thinking that someone's
epitaph on his grave.
Wow.
Is going to be this man took a great athlete and destroyed him.
Yeah.
I mean, they tried to make him into something he wasn't, and they could have taken advantage of what he was. And that was a dual threat quarterback, and now they've sort of messed up what he was originally. And so I hate to say it, but John's probably right. We probably need to go in the other direction now, at least based on the results of last game.
Okay. You can still drop off your ballots. Tomorrow is, of course, Election Day in the city of Tucson. All of the elections are being handled by mail-in ballots, but the deadline to mail them has, of course, passed. Voters should bring their ballots to one of several locations today and tomorrow. 791 32 791-3221, 791-3221 for any questions about where to drop off your ballots. Jeff, how do you see this election going?
Well, I think the Democrats are going to win every seat, and I think that that's just, we've got a 2-to-1 voting margin, and the Republicans have not put up any very good candidates in quite a while, and I would encourage them to do so, but the voter registration edge probably is, you know, difficult for them to overcome, and that probably means a lot of good, otherwise good candidates don't want to stick their name in the hat, but...
And you can win the ward... but lose the election.
Yeah, you can win your own ward. The Democrats have fixed this.
And that's happened many times on both sides.
The Democrats have fixed these elections where you can be elected in a primary in your ward and run as a Republican in your ward. But since the general election is citywide, you have the same, frankly, tyranny of the same majority of the whole city. Even if you win your ward, even if people in the ward love you, you can't get elected. So the Democrats have got a double whammy on us. They've got more Democrats than Republicans, largely because they won't annex the areas where the Republicans are. And number two, because then they'd begin to lose control. And number two, they've got this ward election thing where you are not elected by your ward. You're elected by all the Democrats down in Center City. Regardless where your ward is. So they fixed the election, and they're going to have to live with that as we go on, because the city's in trouble. We've got Regina Romero going to be elected on the Democratic ticket for mayor. We're going to have a complete Democratic city council. I wish them all well, but I don't have high expectations. They can continue to fix the election and maintain their power if they want, but that isn't good for the city of Tucson, and it isn't certainly good for democracy or fairness.
Well, Fred Ronstadt lost his ward and won citywide. We had Mayor Walkup win citywide 3 full times. So, you know, it's just a matter of putting up better candidates than we've seen the Republicans offer to the public.
You're driven.
Now, and there is, you know, I was on a commission that studied the city charter to make recommendations when we thought that the Ninth Circuit might uphold a federal district court judge who had ruled that our system was unconstitutional. Ended up that the full Ninth Circuit said it was just fine, and the Supreme Court agreed with them by not taking the case. But we studied a situation that I really wish we could go to, and that was, it'll be hard because we needed to add a few seats, but it was where we had a hybrid where you had certain people elected ward only, and then you had some people running at large. And the reason that's good is because the problem with ward only is that you get people in their ward who don't think about the city as a whole. They think about it in a manner that I'm going to do what's best for my ward. You know, I don't give a GD mm-hmm. about your ward, you know, in downtown, I'm on the southeast side, and, you know, unless you're going to give me something for the southeast side, I'm not going to vote for your project for downtown.
So they're not thinking holistically, you're saying?
Yeah, they're not
about
thinking
the whole
citywide.
Yeah,
okay. And that's what it encourages, and that's what the studies show. But this hybrid system where you have some running at large and some running in their ward seemed like a way to go. And
where is that being done?
There are a lot of cities that are doing that.
Huh.
But you know, we ended up, and it's expensive to do because what you got to do is probably add a couple more council people and change the wards around a little bit. And you've always got to have an even number who with the mayor makes the odd number, and so that you don't have tie votes. But that was the system I liked best. We studied a multitude of systems, and the ward only, you know, it has its flaws, but the citywide one, it has its flaws
as well.
Well,
Jeff, that idea that you've got is better than what we have now. And unfortunately, you can talk about how wonderful it would be, but the Democrats in this city are not going to let it happen, and didn't let it happen, defeated it, because they want to keep power. So what they have right now is they have a lock on the system where you have this majority that says in the center city that says, we don't care what you want in your ward. And we're going to elect this Democrat after Democrat after Democrat. Sure, every once in a while, you get somebody with a name like Ronstadt, you can get elected. You pull off some lucky...
Kathleen Dunbar didn't have much of a name recognition.
And she was defeated the next time around. The problem is, the fix is in. The Democrats are never going to change it. And so from my perspective, very frankly, I pay very little attention to the city because as an experienced politico myself, I know that the odds of ever getting any significant number of Republicans elected.
So you don't even bother to worry about it.
I don't even bother with the city because the city, in my opinion, is virtually politically a lost cause.
The city contains 90% of the residents of Pima County.
It doesn't.
We're over a million. There's a million people now in the city.
No, the city.
And not only that, John, but this has been presented to the voters to decide this issue, to go to ward only twice. Not very recently, but twice it was presented to the voters, and the voters overwhelmingly.
And
the
Democrats may have a point, though. The city is the population.
The city represents about 60% of the valley.
Right, and you're wrong about...
And not 90%.
And you're wrong about us not wanting to annex these areas. We've tried to annex some of the foothills and other places, and they don't want to be annexed. They want a kind of quid pro quo, so give us our own council seat.
Well, why the hell would anybody want to be?
Why the hell would
anybody want to be in the city when you're going to be outvoted by the center city? I wouldn't want to be in the city either.
All right,
give us a ward where we can elect our own representatives.
Let's take a break
and don't have to represent your representatives.
And contrary to what you said, the city's in really pretty good shape right now.
All right,
we'll see how it holds compared, on if a recession
compared to
comes.
Phoenix. It's not doing well at all.
The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Want to talk about our favorite place to have breakfast and right now open for lunch? Moe's. Moe's, what am I saying? Moe's is not in the bakery business. We're talking about Mona's, also starts with M-O. Jeff, you'll be very happy to hear that they are doing very well up at Mona's. I know you've enjoyed their breakfast up at Mona's.
A few times.
Northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, owner and chief baker Steve doing such a great job. They fired up the grill. They got it all ready for the morning breakfast, doing very well with the breakfast. They're open right now for lunch. Got Thanksgiving coming up. Next week we'll be talking heavily about what Mona's is going to be doing for Thanksgiving. Get your orders in for all your, how about some morning pastries on Thanksgiving morning, and of course, the rolls for your table. Open now for lunch, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, on the web at monasdanishbakery.com. We'll be right back with the Monday Political Face-Off. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Ever dream of taking a river cruise? Bon Voyage Travel introduces you to Ama Waterways. You'll explore authentic culture in captivating landscapes in luxury and comfort. All on board an award-winning fleet while you travel through incredible cities and villages in Europe, Southeast Asia, and Africa. Picture yourself on the river, indulging in Ama Waterways' locally inspired cuisine paired with complimentary wine with every lunch and dinner. Contact Bon Voyage Travel today to customize your river cruise vacation.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. I was by there on Saturday. They're doing very well, thanks to all the people who go to Moe's. They know they can get great framing, and they've also got some beautiful art in the gallery, so check it out, moesgallery.com on Facebook. All right, let's. One thing we didn't talk about, Jeff Rogers and John Munger, is, of course, kind of the marquee issue in tomorrow's election, Proposition 205. Your prediction, Jeff Rogers?
I think it'll be defeated by about 65-35. It might get as much as 40% support, but I doubt it. I think that might be something that's also motivating Republican turnout as well. I know that a lot of my friends in the business, particularly tourism community and realtors and home builders, are very scared of what could happen economically to this city if this were to pass. And they're afraid of a lot of negative consequences for Tucson, as well as the threat that we would lose various state shared revenue to the tune of maybe $130 million.
You think tourism would take a hit?
Oh, absolutely. Tourism would take a huge hit. So many people are not going to come to a sanctuary city. They're just not going to do it. There's too much history of the devolution of sanctuary cities around the country, San Francisco, places that just turn into dumps when they turn into sanctuary cities. I have a question for Jeff yet. Jeff, is Rahina Romero in favor of 205 or not?
No, she's not.
No.
I believe that she remembers quite clearly the economic downturn and the hit we took in 2007 and 8. I mean, that was the beginning of her 12 years on the mayor and council. And, I think she rightfully sees that the economic harm that could come to pass would be devastating. And we don't want to impose that upon ourselves. And so she quite wisely has been against this from the very beginning, and in spite of the fact that her primary mentor, Congressman Grijalva, has advocated for it. So
okay.
I got to give her credit for standing up for that.
Yeah, that's one of the things I would agree with her on. I don't agree with her on anything else, but that is good. This thing will be devastating if it passes. I happen to agree with Jeff. Jeff is more in tune with the statistics on this particular election than I am, however, and I'll go with his numbers.
All right. We, believe it or not, 1 year. We're 1 year away from the election, November 3rd, 2020. So yesterday, was the one-year mark. 1 year from yesterday, voters will decide whether to grant President Trump a second term in office, an election that will be a referendum on the president's vision for America's culture and role in the world. All sorts of questions, John and Jeff, beginning who will be Donald Trump's opponent? How will Democrats resolve the ideological and generational and demographic questions rolling through the as we get into the primaries? And will a strong economy shore up the president's support? And I would add one more: how will independents vote in this upcoming election? All sorts of questions.
You know, the interesting thing, I think, is the first question: who's going to be the Democratic opponent? Because everything falls from there, depending who the Democratic opponent is. And I've been surprised to see Joe Biden hanging in there.
You said on the show a couple of months ago, you said he was done.
I thought he was done, and he may still be done. We're going to see a lot of investigations coming out in the next, starting the next week or so with this Horowitz investigation of Comey and the deep state and Brennan and Clapper. That's going to be coming out here pretty quickly. And then soon after that, you're going to see the investigation by Prosecutor Durham. So there'll be a lot of things happening. And how those affect people, we don't know. A lot's going to depend on who their candidate is. Right now, it's tough to predict who their candidate's going to be. And moreover, if the candidate is Joe Biden, how is he going to be affected by this whole Ukraine problem?
Well, I think,
and these investigations. Excuse me, Jeff.
Well, I think that it is important to see who our nominee is, but I think what happens a lot is we focus on this national horse race.
Right.
And last time around, the polls were pretty correct. In a national horse race, Hillary Clinton, the last polls right before the election, showed her between 2 and 5% ahead of Trump nationally, and she won by about 3%. That, of course, was meaningless on election day because of the Electoral College. And so I think that the Democrats' focus needs to be on Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Minnesota, and maybe Arizona even. But those kinds of states are going to be the ones that are going to make the difference. And the economies are slowing in many of these upper Midwestern states. There were some articles about that this past weekend, that they're slowing. Manufacturing is slowing. As a matter of fact, they've declared already that there's officially a manufacturing recession. And so that's hitting these states. That comes from the Institute of Supply Management Index, which is now at its lowest level in 10 years. Exports are declining as of in 2019 from what they were in 2018. Mining jobs have been in decline throughout since the beginning of 2019. So a lot is going to depend upon that economy. I think that was the bulwark that I believe Trump and Republicans thought they had. If we do see a slowing in the economy, particularly in many of those upper Midwestern states, I think that's going to bode well to the Democrats. But if we put a nominee in there whose first words out of their mouth is, I'm going to take away your insurance and force you into a government plan, I don't think that carries water in those states.
It doesn't.
It doesn't. It's a losing proposition.
And that's what
two of our top three leading candidates both believe that.
And that's what Pelosi warned over the weekend, had a pointed message,
she's
John.
Right.
She's saying basically, those liberal ideas that are firing up the Democratic Party base are a big loser when it comes to beating President Trump.
Well, they are. And you've got a number of issues. Right now, President Trump is doing very well in these battleground states that Jeff has been talking about. He's actually leading in many of the polls there. People are going to be affected by so much yet to come. Who is the Democratic candidate? What are they trying to sell to the public? What's the economy like? How are people ultimately affected by this impeachment issue? How are people going to be affected by these the Durham investigation and the Horowitz investigation? There's so much more to come. This thing is a moving target. It would be very tough to predict. Well, right now, as it stands right now, my prediction would be if, and we'll never know, is if Donald Trump ran right now, he'd win. But that could change if the economy changes, depending who their candidates are, what they're selling, how these future events happen. Is there a war? All of those things. Does he make a deal with the Chinese?
A lot can happen in 12 months.
So much can happen. It's hard to predict.
That we can agree on.
Yeah.
But the other thing that's starting to happen is we're seeing a sort of a snowball effect of these legal cases that the Trump administration is losing. They lost another one this morning when a three-judge panel upheld the grand jury subpoena to get Trump's tax returns from, what is it called, Mazars, his accounting agency that did his taxes. So they dismissed the Trump administration's arguments, or actually, I guess it was a private legal team that was fighting this. So the fact is that he's going to keep losing these, and if he continues to obstruct justice and obstruct Congress, this stuff is going to come back to haunt him. And it's going to happen pretty soon here. I mean, we're going to start seeing decisions quickly once a week from various courts of things that are already now in the pipeline.
I'm going to take a hard break here. So quickly, John, you had
a
final.
There isn't any obstruction of justice. The Democrats are trying to subpoena the president's attorneys and violate his executive privilege. That's not obstruction of justice.
All right.
So let's get past that.
The Monday political face-off with John Munger and Jeff Rogers. Thank you, gentlemen. I hope
you
both have
You're
a
welcome.
Great week.
Glad to be here.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com proudly presents our Monday political face-off, CBS Network News, and we'll be right back with General Wickham.
CBS News Update. A just-released transcript shows former U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine Marie Yovanovitch told House impeachment investigators that she was warned that Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani and other allies of President Trump were planning to do things and were looking to hurt her. House Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff says more transcripts are coming.
We will be releasing further transcripts. Tomorrow we are scheduled to release the transcripts of Ambassador Volker and Ambassador Sondland. And we will continue to release the transcripts in an orderly way.
CBS's Paula Reed.
We know the president has reportedly been very upset about the fact that so many people who work for him have been willing to cooperate in this inquiry. We expect that he will want to see these transcripts so he can find ways to attack these witnesses and undermine their credibility.
Four administration officials ignored subpoenas to testify today. CBS News Update, I'm Pam Coulter.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your health care by taking your medicines safely.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. We are so delighted and honored to have such great sponsors. These have been very loyal people to the Buckmaster Show, and these are businesses that I support, and I hope you will too. Like Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. They're just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's a 13-acre site, and Jan and Jack, the owners, have done just a marvelous job with those 13 acres. It's so beautiful. All the plants, just about anything you could imagine for your garden. They have a very knowledgeable staff that's there ready to help you with any of your nursery questions. And now Zocalo is there. Zocalo for years was over by Country Club and Broadway. Well, they're part of the Green Things family, and the Zocalo merchandise is top quality. Much of it is hand-carved, some of that furniture from Mexico, Peru, Ecuador, some beautiful European items. There are five shops at Green Things that they call Zocalo Village. So check it out, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Buckmaster Show is honored. Speaking of honored, we are so honored to have military and foreign affairs specialist contributor to the Buckmaster Show, four-star general John Wickham, who is commander-in-chief of the United Nations Command and commander of the United States Forces in Korea and the 8th Army in Korea. He's the author of Korea on the Brink, chronicling that very dangerous period in 1979 after the assassination of the South Korean president. In 1983, President Ronald Reagan appointed General Wickham chief of staff of the U.S. Army, a 1950 graduate of West Point, former social sciences instructor there. General Wickham retired in 1987 after four decades of service in the Army. The Army Times named General Wickham one of the 10 leaders that most changed the United States Army. General Wickham was a combat commander in Vietnam. He was critically wounded there. He was twice awarded the Silver Star for Battlefield Valor, as well as the Bronze Star for Valor, the Purple Heart, 11 Air Medals and 4 Legions of Merit, and 8 Distinguished Service Medals. Amazing. His recent collection of poetry is titled On Life, Love, and Living, and it is available on Amazon. He and his wife, Anne, reside in Oro Valley, and he joins us now on the live line. General, how are you?
Oh, thanks, Bill. Golly days, it's wonderful to be on your superb program.
General, there was quite an article in the Wall Street Journal about North Korea's strong hand against the United States, and I just read a little portion of it. The piece is from a lady by the name of Sue Mee Terry. Sue is the senior fellow at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. She served as a senior CIA analyst on Korea and worked on Korea policy at the National Security Council in the Bush and Obama administrations. And she says that for Halloween, the strongman leader of North Korea gave Donald Trump a trick, not a treat. North Korea fired
two short-range missiles on Thursday toward the Sea of Japan. General Wickham, it was North Korea's 13th weapons test this year, and the first time the Trump administration since the failed restart of those negotiations. Things are not looking good in United States-North Korea relations, are they, General?
No, they aren't. You're exactly right, Bill, and there's going to be more of this. And it historically, as your woman, whom I know so well, writes and has spoken of, if you look at the history, the North Koreans continue to test us and push us. So they're going to be around, and we need, in my humble opinion, more educated, informed leadership to negotiate with them. And we're not getting it. We're not getting it from China. We're not getting it from Russia. We're not getting it from Japan. We have to do it ourselves, and I don't think we're doing it right. And the downside is our children and grandchildren are going to suffer from this.
There were three meetings with Mr. Trump. He held three meetings with the North Korean dictator, and he expressed most recently after the last meeting, which was June 2018, Donald Trump tweeted, "There is no longer a nuclear threat from North Korea."
He's crazy, and that's a typical, unfortunately, I don't want to get into politics,
no.
But that's the typical of this administration exaggerating for PR purposes. And it's unfortunate for the American people to witness this and to suffer from it. The North Koreans are dangerous, and they will continue to push us. They have at least 40 nuclear weapons and the makings of at least 40 more. Will they use them? They might. And so I think the danger is that an accidental event could occur. It could lead us into a situation. Now, if you reflect on dictatorships historically, it's more than just one individual. Kim Jong-un, the grandson, is the dictator, no doubt about it. But actually, North Korea is ruled by elites in the military and elites in the business world that are running the nation. And they are going to be sure that they stay in power. And nuclear weapons are going to enable them to do that. As Kim Il-sung, the founder of North Korea, said during the Korean War, "We're losing this war because we don't have nuclear weapons. And we're going to get them. And they've got them. And we're not going to get them to give them up." But I do believe, as I said on your wonderful program before, I do think that we can negotiate with the North Koreans some sort of containment policy, the way we did with the USSR during the Cold War, where Russia did give up thousands of nuclear weapons and agree to inspections all over Russia. So I think that we can do that if we're smart about it. But unfortunately, Bill, as your program and other commentators say, we're not smart about it.
Getting back to Dr. Terry, you say you know Dr. Terry, the senior fellow at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. It was such an excellent article, and I thought about you as I was reading this. Dr. Terry says the president has committed a cardinal error of deal making. He misjudged the person across the table from him. He thought Mr. Kim had come to the negotiating table primarily because of U.S. sanctions policies of maximum pressure and his own rhetoric warning of nuclear miss as fire and fury. It hasn't worked, General Wickham.
No, it hasn't worked at all. And it's because, in part, Bill, you understand it in spades. We don't understand the Korea experts who have been to Korea, and I've talked to a number of them, claim that North Korea believes it is the nation, the true nation that must unify the peninsula their way. That it's a nation not contaminated by Japan or the U.S. or any other nation. And they're going to do it their way. They tried it during the Korean War, and we may see it again.
getting back to what can be done, even if North Korea would not give up its nuclear arsenal, as you have said, and we've talked about on this program over and over, that they're not going to give up the nuclear arsenal. The Trump administration, could they still try to reach, General Wickham, some kind of an interim deal to freeze or roll back Mr. Kim's nuclear arms program?
Yes, you're exactly right, Bill. You're on the pay dirt. I think that's the kind of thing that we can reach an agreement on, cutting back on producing weapons, cutting back on testing, cutting back on exporting of any nuclear material to other nations. I think there are concrete steps that can be made, but there's going to be a quid pro quo to do that, and the quid pro quo is going to be trade and maybe some assistance. Now, one of the things that the North Koreans will insist on, and unfortunately I'm afraid the Trump administration might bow to, is insisting on the U.S. leaving South Korea. A stupid strategic error if we did that. South Korea is one of the great success stories of America. It is a nation like ours with values like America, and it's an economic giant in Asia. And we need to be with South Korea hand in glove for the future. And so to urge the United States to get out of South Korea, I think is a foolish move.
General Wickham, let me ask you, this brings up a point. Could you foresee President Trump actually abandoning South Korea in some kind of a deal with the North Korean dictator?
Yes, I think we could. And part of it is he's already done some of that with economic programs. He doesn't understand the situation. Now, the South Korean leadership, they're seeking a better relations with North Korea. That's good. And for an illustration of the kind of thing that the South Korean leadership is doing, they have banned the eating of dog meat. And that used to be a tradition in South Korea because they thought it would lead to testosterone in the bloodstream, more masculinity. But the South Korean leadership has banned that in restaurants in South Korea.
Good.
There is progress in small ways, but it can move ahead much more rapidly if we're smart about how we do it. And we need to move with alacrity because the Japanese situation, it could lead to more weapons proliferation there. And we do not need proliferation in that area of the world or elsewhere. That was one of the tragedies of tearing up of the Iran nuclear deal. Not a perfect deal, but a deal which prevented Iran from having nuclear weapons for 15 years at least. And by tearing it up, it illustrates to the world you can't negotiate anything with the United States because they may tear it up. And the United States does not believe in arms control.
All right. You segued beautifully, General Wickham, into our next topic. We will leave Korea for a while and talk about the 40th anniversary, General Wickham, of the 1979 Iran hostage crisis. That 40th anniversary was, it's actually coming up today, I believe. Anyway, General Wickham sticks around. 790-2040 if you'd like to join in the conversation. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We'll be right back with General Wickham.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I want to tell people about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. One of my Facebook friends posted a beautiful picture of Silver City over the weekend. What a lovely day it was over there in Silver City as the autumn leaves are turning. It's really nice place to be. It's only a three-hour drive from Tucson. I suggest as a good starting place before you make the road trip over there, go to southwestnewmexico.org. That's a wealth of material waiting for you about places to stay and so many things to do. So make a really nice little outing for you this autumn, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. By January of 1979, the Shah of Iran would flee that country while suffering from a fatal illness that the United States knew nothing about. The Islamic Revolution would take hold in the next month, which also would see Marx's students overrunning the embassy in Tehran and briefly holding it. The United States, in part, realized the danger to its diplomats, employees, military advisors, and spies. The United States' presence in Iran dropped from 1,400 civilian and military personnel to about 70 by the time of the November 4th, 1979 United States embassy takeover. General Wickham, it's been 40 years. Hard to believe. I'm sure you recall very vividly where you were when you heard about all of this.
That's right, Bill. As a matter of fact, the National War College trip of graduates, I went over to Iran with others and met the Shah. And I was impressed by his personal leadership and his style, as well as their military. So I've had a relationship with Iran in a sense of admiration for the country and its important role in the Middle East. And we as a nation need to recognize that rather than what we're doing of bad rhetoric.
Well, I recall I had a little personal involvement there, too. I was one of the first radio broadcasters in the United States to actually touch base with the people holding the American hostages shortly after all of this began. I was doing the morning
on one of the morning programs up in the San Francisco Bay Area on the radio, and I was able to get through and talk to one of the leaders, these young people that were leading this takeover. And they kept talking about how the United States had made all these deals with the Shah that ruined the lives of Iranians. I don't know what their lifestyle, the lifestyle wasn't all that bad, was it, under the Shah, or was it?
No, you're exactly right, Bill. And Iran is one of the most educated nations in the Middle East, nation of almost 95 million people, can be influential. It has wealth and mineral wealth, as well as agricultural health. And so we need to work with them rather than to do what we're doing. One other point related to that, if I might, Bill. Tomorrow is Veterans Day. We're going to honor veterans, and which we should do, and what veterans have done. But when you think about this as a citizen, we should recognize that we are all veterans. Why is that? Because we, as God's children, we have an obligation and a purpose in life. And the purpose is service. Service to others and giving back, rather than just taking away and chewing things up. And so if we serve a lifetime, as we are doing, all of us are doing, then we begin to realize we are truly veterans, and we have an obligation as veterans with our children and grandchildren to urge them to be supportive of democracy and where we're headed. Just one little anecdote, if I might. I went to Nijmegen, Holland, years ago when I was Army Chief. They asked me to come and participate in a parade. And Nijmegen, Holland was a place freed by the 101st Airborne Division during World War II. And at the end of the parade, the mayor, with a loudspeaker, called for silence. And into the square, darkened square, came runners from Normandy with torches that they had lighted at the eternal flame in Normandy. And then the mayor said, "Now, school children, come out and with your candles and ignite them and take it into every home, the freedom of light." And he did. And there were hundreds of children that did that. And I asked the Lord Mayor of Nijmegen, "How long have you been doing this?" And he turned to me, a young man, and there are tears coming down his face. And he said, "Ever since you blessed Americans gave us back our freedom, and we do it in Holland with our school children so that they remember that freedom is not free, and that we all have an obligation to protect the future for our own children and grandchildren." We need to do more of that kind of thing around the world, not just in Holland or in Belgium.
Well, I was reflecting on my own experience in 2006, my wife and I standing before all those of your brothers that are laid to rest at the Margarden Cemetery in Holland. So many of your 101st died there. And the tradition in Maastricht, Holland, every 4th of July, all the kids go out and plant American flags on each of the grave sites. So they do certainly remember to this day the American sacrifice in Holland, General Wickham.
Well, that's remarkable, Bill. And you and I came up with the same comments, similar comments on your wonderful program.
General Wickham, one final note about the Army. I see a headline here in front of me. The Army, the 2019 recruitment goal seems attainable after they did some revamping. So I guess things are looking pretty good for the 2019 target.
They are, and I think part of it comes from the fact that the military is a quality way of life, and it restores values in our society. Unfortunately, as your program points out, Bill, this administration is diverting funds from the Veterans Affairs Department and from the Department of Defense to build a stone wall against Mexico. What we need to do is divert money to build better infrastructure in our country and better schools and better values. We're not doing that, and we need to do a better job of that in terms of leadership, in my humble opinion.
Always a pleasure, General Wickham. 91 years going strong. You sound great. How are you? How are you doing?
Well, the answer is, Bill, don't eat too much. And just enjoy life the way you and your beloved Ann do as you travel.
Thank you very much. We'll talk with you in early December, and I want to wish you and Ann a blessed Thanksgiving and the entire Wickham family, such a great family. Have a great Thanksgiving, General
Thanks,
Wickham.
Bill. God bless.
Thank you very much. Boy, I tell you, I love talking to that man. 91 years old. Listen to that kind of energy coming from that man. It really is amazing. It's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. It's going to do it, John. Thank you very much, John Couch, engineering and producing our program. We hope you have a great afternoon. We've got Dave Ramsey coming up next. I've become a big Dave Ramsey fan. I like that radio show very much, which comes up right after our program. Have a great afternoon and evening.